Hello, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Suns, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as our host, Evan Sutter, and my co-host, Brennan Clean. You can follow me on Twitter at eSutter. You can follow Brennan on Twitter at BrennanClean14. Also, for our Locked On Suns Twitter page, if you haven't already, at Locked On PHX Suns. Your supporters are very much appreciated, as always. We're joining you from inside Talkspace Resort Arena. It's a little bit loud in the media room right now, but just bear with us for a moment here. Just a really interesting game tonight for the Phoenix Suns, Brendan. 116-101. Really wasn't ever that close, really. So surprising to you against this Bulls team, even though the Suns were shorthanded. I wanted to prelude that no Kelly Oubre tonight. You also had no Rashawn Holmes, two their two energy guys. I mean, it looked from the very beginning like just the energy was off, and without those two guys, it just wasn't going to be their kind of night.
Yeah, I think that's not deep analysis as that is, like, that's the reality in a lot of different ways. I think the rotation just being shorter meant obviously guys played more minutes, but not only are, you know, Mikal Bridges is up there 41-42 minutes, Booker 40, and Ayton only played 35, but by the end he was done. He was very winded, and they took him out early in the third and then didn't come back in. Like, it was just throwing everything off. We saw guys on the court together that aren't familiar, so it was just, I think that was kind of the domino effect of the various injuries. And it feels like this year there's never just been one injury. No, it's like when it rains, it pours.
Really does. It's like Tyler Johnson all of a sudden, Rashawn Holmes all of a sudden, Kelly Oubre came out of nowhere. I didn't see.
Did we even hear anything on
Saturday? I didn't hear anything about practice yesterday, or I think they had practice yesterday here, which
they did.
Which is surprising. I don't know, it must have happened at practice or something, but yeah, I asked Booker about that after the game, just how different was Kelly out there for the first time since he's been traded here. I mean, the first time he's missed a game, and he said it was a little bit different, but he's more worried about his health, obviously, so nothing really much to add. But DeAndre Ayton, he had a funny little thing. He played 35 minutes, and he said to the media he felt like LeBron tonight because he's only had like a two-minute break, and he went back up, and he says his lungs were burning. So the typical DA funny quote there, but let's dive into our free throws here. We're also going to our regular flagrant fouls and our stat to watch here. Might do a little quicker episode today just because it was a little surprising, the 15-point loss. But, Brent, I'm going to toss you your way first. What's your biggest free throw for tonight's game?
Yeah, maybe we do one each.
Yeah, that's fine by me.
Yeah, not a great game. But I would say the big one, the obvious one, is DeAndre Ayton. Really, it's kind of weird where it feels like, I mean, I guess I'm going to say a negative and get that out of the way first and then go to why he was so impactful. But we're not at the point yet where he can have a good night and also the other big man doesn't have a good night. Yeah. It feels like the other big man kind of eats no matter what against the Suns right now.
And that Robin Lopez stat line.
Yeah, that Robin Lopez stat line looks very, very nice. And same thing with Rudy Gobert last home game, and same for Clint Capella on Friday night. So it's a little bit of an inconsistency there, but overall, and a great game for Ayton, and really filled up the box score. 25 points, 12 rebounds, 4 on the offensive glass, 3 assists, only 1 turnover, and then 3 steals and 3 blocks. And those blocks were some of the better reads he's had as a weak side rim protector. Not even weak side, but just a rim protector kind of reading the floor from the rim that we've seen all year. Kind of felt like that magic overtime where he blocked a couple shots. Mm-hmm. So he did have a good game on both ends. I just think I honestly would say a lot of I don't have the numbers obviously this detailed in front of me, but it felt like a lot of what Lopez did was when Ayton was out of the game, especially in the first half. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't put too much of that on him. I think overall Ayton had a really good two-way game.
I think about half those points were against him. I think half were against like a Dragan Bender, I think, because he played a lot in the third quarter. Bender did. But looking more at Ayton's stat line, you said 12-17 from the field, only 1-1 from the free throw line. Now he put up 25 points getting to the line at just an and one opportunity. Just once DeAndre finds out that he can get fouled on almost every time he goes to the rim, I think it's going to open up everything as far as offense for him. Because if he's putting up 25 points and 12 rebounds with barely even going to the line at all, I mean, that's just sky's the limit for this guy.
Yeah, that's it's going to be interesting. I was kind of expecting him to put the ball on the ground a little bit more. The Bulls use this Lopez brother just like the Bucks use the other one, which is dropping him literally 6 feet from the big man defender in the pick and roll. So we saw Ayton popping for mid-rangers a a lot tonight, and he made a lot of them, so that's fine. But for him to really be aggressive inside, he's going to need to be able to put the ball on the ground in those situations and draw contact, get the ball back out to shooters. We haven't seen that part of his game, but when he scores 25, it's hard to complain.
Yeah, exactly. And I wrote my preview for Brightside of the Sun this morning that the Ayton-Lopez match was kind of the biggest matchup I was watching for, and really it was. It ended up being that way, and like you mentioned, Ayton put up 25 points, but he gave up about 12, 13 the other way, so it kind of canceled itself out there. But for my free throw, our main free throw on this side of the table, it's going to be Devin Booker, even though he was 9 of 24 from the field. 25 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. Even though he puts up really one of his worst efficient nights in the past few weeks, he still puts up nearly a triple-double.
Yeah, it's impressive to watch him. He was 3 of 11 in the first half. Then in the second quarter, he went 5 of 8. I think he scored 8 or 10 points or something in that one. I guess it would have been 10 if he went 5 of 8. So, weird shooting night. Missed 7 threes, missed 4 free throws. I think that the free throws is just, I think, an off night for him. But I think the threes, that's the Tyler Johnson effect. I mean, that's the effect of we're back to watching what it looks like when that guy's not in the game, and a lot tougher of a matchup for Booker to get threes off open. And we saw him taking a lot of pull-ups. He took a heave going at the end of a quarter or at the end of the half. I don't remember. So, not as much of a comfort zone for him tonight for sure, but like you said, I mean, for him to be able to do what he did, 25, 8, and 7, and we're like, not his best game, that's pretty crazy.
It kind of goes to show just how big his potential is. I mean, puts up in a 15-point loss, 25, 8, and 7, and most of that was on hard, tough shots. But one more point I wanted to make on Booker before we go into our main flagrant fouls, just what does it say just that Ayton Booker overall just really seem to be gaining a lot better on-court chemistry together too? Because I think the past 3 or 4 games I'm really noticing now that those two are not only joined together, but they're also becoming like the alphas on this team that they're supposed to be.
Yeah, I think that flow was evident between them, but it usually extends to Kelly Oubre. You've seen all three of those guys playing really well off of one another, especially in transition, and you really felt the absence of – at least I noticed the absence of Oubre in that regard quite a bit tonight, with not having that secondary playmaker in space that the Suns have gotten used to having. And you saw Mikal Bridges bring the ball up a couple times, and just Troy Daniels in the second quarter ran a few plays. Yeah. It was just a really – you could tell, especially missing Oubre, really threw them off. But, I mean, credit to you need when that happens – to have your other two stars go for, what, 50, 20, and 10 combined? That's one of the better combined nights those guys have had, even in a loss.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I'm looking here just at more numbers here. I'm glad you brought up Uber here, because that was going to be my last question to kind of answer itself there. But 5 steals for the Suns tonight, usually around 10 or 12, and that's the Uber effect, I think, just missing him and also Rashawn Holmes, the two main energy guys on this team. Not only the offense suffers, but also the defense suffers as well. So anything else as far as positives for this game you want to hit on?
No, one more thing on Oubre before we move on, though, would be the other area you noticed it is 7 of 26 from the three-point arc. He's a guy that really provides that spacing, especially when, you know, Booker's not getting it done there. And you saw Josh Jackson kind of being that weak side outlet for the play.
It's a lot different with those two guys.
Yeah, and Jackson, I guess, you know, made 2 of 4 tonight, but it feels a lot smoother when Oubre's in that corner and can make plays off of that. And that's just another area you missed it, but... Yeah.
Before we go on here to our next segment, I want to tell you guys really quickly, as you already know, about the Locked On NBA Twitter page. If you haven't already done so, go ahead and give the follow to @LockedOnNBAnet. I think it's one of our valuable resources out there on NBA Twitter. Burr and I both have our accounts synced on there, too, for your Phoenix Suns coverage you love here on Locked On Suns. But you might be missing out on a lot of different voices around the Locked On Network who are great at their jobs. So if you want to not miss out on the great coverage that the Locked On Network has for you guys, go ahead and follow @LockedOnNBAnet on Twitter.
One guy who might be buying a home soon, Antonio Blakeney. After that dunk, he might get a little bit of money this summer if he keeps that up. And he should probably use Homie. I guess Homie's not in Chicago, but maybe if the Suns sign him, then he can come and take advantage.
Yeah.
Or Utah. Yeah, if the Jazz. It doesn't seem like a Jazz player, but take advantage of Homie, and you guys should already be doing the same. They sell and list your home for a flat rate of $1,500, saving you on average $10,000. When you think about the commissions and needless fees that go into buying a home most of the time, and Homie changes all of that for you. They also provide you with a team of realtors and attorneys, people that are there to help you make the process smoother, help you do things that you're not familiar with, which unfortunately most of the home buying process is for us. To learn more about my friends at Homie and all the great stuff they're doing, text Homie, that's H-O-M-I-E, to 88588. Again, that's Homie, H-O-M-I-E, to 88588. All right, I'll start us off with flagrant fouls. And for me, I'm actually going to go with Daniels. I think we've been kind of on the train of seeing what he can do, and he kind of got a chance tonight. And I think maybe judging any of the individual players from tonight with so many guys absent is unfair, but he did get the opportunity to be much more involved in the offense. As I mentioned, he was on the ball, you know, running plays and running sets in that second quarter for a stretch, and got a few looks at the from behind the arc, and just wasn't up to his usual standards as a shooter. And I think, you know, nights like this is when he's really going to have to wow to get more minutes. And I mean, maybe we're just past that point because we only got a few games left, but it was disappointing to see him actually get some run and not be able to do more with it.
Yeah, I kind of was surprised they used him more as an on-ball guy rather than just running around screens. So really different how they used him tonight. I mean, they only played, if you exclude Race Ball, you only play like one possession a couple of times, 3 minutes, 8-man rotation tonight. Jackson Crawford played over 25 minutes. So like we talked about before we record here, just the lack of bodies really just killed this team tonight.
Yeah, and you know, weird, I guess, maybe to not. This seems like a game where you just needed some, really they needed defense, so maybe it makes sense that Okobo didn't get in there. Yeah. But it was kind of odd to not see Spalding or Okobo just get out there when the game was out of reach. But I think that the Suns kept it just close enough to keep some hope, but it didn't happen.
For my flagrant foul, actually, this might be a little surprising here. I'm actually going to include, I'll go with my main person here, but then I'm going to add on one more person here just because I think it's warranted. D'Anthony Melton is my flagrant foul here. He played 22 minutes, had 0 points, 0 of 2 from the field, also had a turnover. Not really bad, but just like you can tell now, just after seeing Johnson for about 2 or 3 games now, there's a step down, a pretty big step down between Melton and Johnson. You know, we're fans of Melton. I just think you can tell he's really far away offensively right now.
Yeah, he just, I think one of the things that doesn't show up on the stat sheet that I think I might have jinxed this one a little bit too, because I wrote about him and praised how well he played against the Pelicans. And one of the things that doesn't show up in the stats for him that I think really affects, negatively hurts the flow of the offense is just how hesitant he is. He's really, really tentative when he has the ball, even when there's space for him to operate, even when, you know, he knows the sets. Nobody here is confused anymore. But when the ball's in his hands and he's going downhill, it's just like, whoa, watch out. The roller coaster is heading for the edge. And unfortunately, I think that to me, I think stands out as why he doesn't get time in games like this. That's my best guess, because it is weird. We've had a lot of games like this year where he doesn't get to stay on the floor, despite you look at the stats and you're like, it wasn't terrible, but yeah, for some reason he's not there.
It just seems to me like, maybe I'll ask your point of view, but it just seems like Melton has like a limited move set right now. He has like maybe one or two moves offensively. He takes a catch and shoot three, a driving layup, and that's it. Like, he doesn't have a floater right now. He doesn't have a mid-range game. He's just missing a lot right now.
Yeah, and he can't really finish their contact at the rim either, and doesn't really ever do it. I mean, I can't think of a time when he missed the shot, but it's like we never even see him try to do it. And I think that's where that hesitancy comes in. I put a video of a play like that in yesterday's article, of he kind of got to the basket, pivoted, and handed it to Ayton in like a really weird position for Ayton, and he tossed up a floater that didn't go in. So that's definitely, I think, part of the reason with him is just very limited skill set on offense right now, which isn't surprising. I think that was the book on him when he came in, and we'll get to see what he does with more time. But before we move on to our stat to watch here, I want to remind you guys to subscribe, listen to the Locked On NBA show as things heat up. Playoffs are kind of set, I guess, in the West, but not so much in the East. Bulls, Suns, maybe not the team that they're going to be talking about on Locked On NBA tonight, but a whole bunch going on. I'm sure that they'll start to touch on draft stuff if you guys are interested in that as March Madness winds up, as we will here on Locked On Suns too. But from the national perspective, getting some up-to-date info on all the rest of the league, subscribe to Locked On NBA.
Before we go on our next segment, I just wanted to just quickly touch on something. Just I want to get your thoughts on it. But yeah. Josh Jackson, he had a great night in the box score, 18 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. But was it? I'm not hating on Josh Jackson. I'm just giving him straight facts here. 6-13 from the field. He had a great night efficiency-wise as well, but 4 fouls, 4 turnovers. It just seemed like one of those odd nights from him where it showed up in the box score, but it kind of negatively impacted the team a little bit too much.
Yeah, I would actually say that I didn't notice that so much. I think that, I mean, it's always going to look better when he makes his open shots, yeah, and he did that, but he missed a few at the basket again, which is just a unsettling and really concerning long
term. That's kind of what I wanted to hit on. Just like he missed, I think, 3 out of 4 of those at the rim.
Yeah, and there was one where he got fouled, but it was a foul where it was just really early in his shot mechanics or whatever. It was gave him plenty of time to put the shot up, and he kissed it off the glass, and it hit the side of the rim. And it's just – it's really weird, and I don't necessarily have an explanation for it. I feel like he's kind of getting stronger. You see it in other areas of his game, just physical strength, but I think it stands out more because the other areas of his game are coming along a little bit. To still have one of the most basic things we associate with basketball, you put the ball in the basket when you're close to it, and it doesn't happen for him.
I just wanted to ask you that really quickly, just because I think I noticed it more tonight, just because there was no Kelly Oubre out there. I think that's probably why. It just seemed like a big difference between those two guys. But your stat to watch, I want to cut you off there, but what's yours?
No, you're good. It's 62. That's the percentage the Suns shot from the free throw line. I think defense was clearly the issue tonight, but when you give away 10 points at the line, it's really tough to compete on offense, even against a less talented team, which the Bulls clearly were, but they played a more complete game. They were more efficient, and that number just stuck out to me. Throughout the game, there were just a lot of misses from the line in key moments where they're starting to gain momentum, and then it's clank, clank. And they don't really get to break into that lead because they get the easy shots and can't make them.
It seems like this would have been a completely different game if the Suns make 4 or 5 extra of those free throws and make 2 or 3 extra three-pointers. That's 15 points right there.
Yeah, and the threes is a little more explainable, like we talked about in the first segment, but the free throws is just kind of inexcusable. You can't do that, and especially Booker. You know, he was on that streak of just insane free throw shooting, and then tonight's just the opposite.
Yeah, really interesting there. And again, my stat to watch here. It's actually, I just noticed this, so I'm going to go with it, the rebound difference again, which is surprising to me. 49-38, even though they're missing a guy like Oubre, who's really active on the glass. But Josh Jackson made up for it in his absence. He had 7 rebounds. Mikal Bridges, though, only had 3. So I think they missed Oubre tonight and Holmes in that category, too. I think they're really starting to miss him as far as rebounding goes. Dragan Bender didn't really rebound the ball that well tonight, so I think that's a big difference between him and Holmes. But did you also notice that? I mean, over the last few games, it just seems like the rebounding is really starting to kill this team a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a huge issue, and that Jazz game was another great example. I think it was an even bigger difference in that one. But, I mean, you see it. I think one of the reasons that the Suns struggle on the glass so often is the lack of athleticism. I mean, the Bulls, not as much talent, not as much skill as the Suns players individually, but they have a lot of athletes. You saw Zach LaVine got 8 rebounds. You know, everybody kind of chipped in a different way on the glass. Everybody had at least 2 on the whole roster, which is just kind of crazy. But I think LaVine especially stuck out to me tonight as a guy like that getting 8 rebounds. You don't really see Suns players that are kind of just, you know, smaller guards. Booker as an exception, but they were burned by the athleticism in Chicago for sure.
For sure. And I think it just seemed like an all-around better effort tonight from the guys in Chicago compared to Phoenix. I think, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, you're really missing your energy guys and Oubre and Holmes a lot in this kind of game. But one more thing I wanted to hit on before we end today's podcast. Did you notice at the very end of that game when Jim Boylan, the Bulls head coach, called a timeout? It kind of went viral on Twitter for a few moments. We asked Igor at the press conference actually about that. I asked him first, immediate no comment, didn't want to talk about it. Dwayne Rankin of Arizona Republic followed up immediately on that. He said, no comment again, I don't want to talk about him. And that was it. So he seems a little bit angry about what happened. Before we get into that, I just want to explain how it happened. There's about 30 seconds left in the game. The Bulls are by 15 points. Yeah. Boylan calls timeout, runs an ATO when they're by 15 points, about 30 seconds left.
Yeah, to clarify too, he also took all of his players out. So that was part of it. He 5-swapped the whole lineup. But sorry.
No problem. Yeah. And just De'Anthony Melton immediately fouled instead.
Yeah,
so
to stop the play.
And Igor also didn't even shake his hand. Yeah. So that's just an interesting little ending to tonight's game that I wanted to hit on just for a moment, just because it seemed like a little out of character from a guy like Igor.
Yeah, it was super weird. And I was sitting down with Greg Moore for the game, and we both noticed it's just at that point in the game to call a timeout is always just bizarre. Like, I get you want to get your guys out, but like 40 more seconds, is that going to burn them? I get it was the second night of a back-to-back for Chicago, but it's like the game is over, they can just run the clock out. So then for him to call a timeout at all was weird. And then I noticed Igor was kind of glaring the whole timeout. He wasn't like pissed, like fuming, but he was looking over kind of like, what, like same as my reaction honestly, like, what is going on, why are you doing this? This is not the flow of things normally. And then I missed the the handshake thing. I mean, I'm not watching that ever, but I saw it on Twitter too, and I was, yeah, not something you would ever think of for a guy who took until game like 55 for his first tech. Yeah. Just crazy.
It just seems like Jim Boilers are rubbing almost every coach he comes across the wrong way. Doc Rivers a couple nights ago, now this.
What, I didn't even see what happened with Doc.
Doc and Boylan got into like a verbal altercation on the court about something like a couple nights ago, and they both got ejected.
That's crazy. Yeah. I didn't even see that. I know you didn't see him at all today, but I listened to two press conferences with him because I was over with the Bulls for most of the night, and he's the most like chill. You would never, all the stories and from practice of him berating these guys and embarrassing them and bad relationships and mutinies and all that stuff. The guy's like perfectly even keeled. He's like hugging people, shaking everybody's hand, grabbing you by the arm. Perfectly normal dude. But then these stories come out like every week.
Yeah, that is crazy. I just want to end on that just because that was a weird ending to tonight's game and kind of just puts in a nutshell is how this game went for the Suns. The final score was 116-101 tonight. The Bulls improved to 20-52. The Suns are now 17-55. And this was also a big win for the reverse standings too. The Suns are now 3 games out of the number 4 spot. They're still number 2. So this is, unless they go on another big win streak, I think they have the top 3, 14% security.
Yeah, it seems like it. I guess that's the silver lining.
There you go. Woo, they might get Zion Williamson. So there's an 86% chance they don't get him. So I guess we'll wait and see. And until then, guys, talk to you.